Profoundly grateful to the exalted personalities who have so mercifully welcomed us to this most holy place, Sri Ranga Kshetra, which is Vaikuntha, the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I am most grateful to all of the assembled devotees who have underwent some degree of inconvenience, disorganization, and suffering to be here. But please know that the fruit of any great spiritual benefits only comes through the practice of tapasya. Tapo divyam putra kayena sattvam. Human life is especially meant for the purpose of tapasya. A wonderful truth is, on the path of bhakti, even tapasya is our greatest joy when we remember Lord Narayan. Narayana paro vyakta. What is that verse? Narayanam namas. No. Swarga pavarga narakeshu apitul yarta darshana. Narayana parasarabe nakutashtina bibhyate. Swarga pavarga narakeshu apitul yarta darshana. This is the symptom of a true devotee of Lord Narayan. Whether they are in heaven, enjoying all comfortable facilities, or whether they're in hell, suffering the torments of unbelievable pain, the devotee is the same. Because a devotee's only interest is in the service of the Lord, in remembering the Lord. The great Acharya Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he prayed that, my dear Lord, the inconveniences and sufferings that I undergo in rendering service to you are the greatest blessings and the greatest pleasures of my life. Vipada shantu tashashva tatra tatra jagat kuru. Bhavato darshanam yatsyat apunar bhavadarshanam. And Queen Kunti prayed, let troubles and calamities come upon me, because in that condition, I remember you, my Lord. And in remembering you, I no longer have to see the repetition of birth and death. So it is this grateful heart that is the real symptom of a devotee. And during our yatras, when difficulties may come upon us, even if it may be someone's fault, that is not going to help you spiritually. But if you take it for your own purification, as the mercy of the Lord, and take shelter of the Lord in that situation, then you are a real Vaishnava, and you will really benefit. Every situation is an opportunity to come closer to God. But we have our free will, whether we are willing to accept or reject that opportunity. Today, this reception is something that is quite extraordinary. The reception was really for the person who deserves it. My beloved Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He has taken the message of Lord Krishna and the previous acharyas. And realized its essence in the very core of his heart. Srila Prabhupada took the blessings and the grace of all the great acharyas of Sri Guru Parampara, of the Vaishnav line, and spread all over the world. Srila Prabhupada is in the disciplic succession of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Madhva Brahma Gaudiya Sampradaya. But Lord Chaitanya, with the deepest honor and respect, he worshipped all of the great acharyas of the four sampradayas and took the essence of their teachings. And Sripad Ramanujacharya of Sri Sampradaya is one of the most prominent great teachers of the world in history. In fact, our own beloved Gurudev and his Gurudev, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they have quoted, cited, and worshipped Ramanujacharya again and again for his extraordinary, merciful contribution to the world. It was Srila Prabhupada who took this message of worship of the Supreme Lord Krishna, or Narayan, and brought it to every continent of the world. And millions of people, their hearts were transformed. And today, we see just one little part of a drop from the ocean of Srila Prabhupada's great work, where 2,000 devotees from various parts of the world have come here to worship Sri Ranganath in Sri Rangakshetra. Lord Chaitanya taught us that two of the very prominent teachings of Sripad Ramanujacharya that we hold so dear and worshipable in our hearts is that the goal of life is pure bhakti. Bhakti that is not mixed with either jnana or karma. Pure bhakti is not concerned with worshiping God for any material benefits, for any mystic powers, or even for liberation. Pure bhakti is only the loving service for the pleasure of the Lord. Samsidhir Haritoshanam. No other purpose but to please God. Narayana Parasarve Nakutashtana Bibhyate Swaraka Pavarga Narakeshu Apitulyarta Darshanam. We don't mind being in hell, we don't mind being in heaven, we only want to please Krishna. That is the message of Sripad Ramanujacharya. At the time, due to the influence of Buddhism and then the powerful teachings of Shankaracharya, people were studying the scriptures, performing tapasya, and living with the ultimate goal of mukti, merging into the Brahman aspect of the Absolute Truth. But from the point of view of Sripad Ramanujacharya, that is also a selfish desire, wanting to be free from the sufferings of this world. One of the last teachings of Sri Ramanujacharya to his disciples was, do not be concerned with all of the phenomena of this material world that is going around you. And do not be so concerned with going to the spiritual world either. Simply be concerned with performing your service for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This pure unalloyed devotional service was so strongly established by Sripad Ramanujacharya. So rare. But in order to do so, he had to smash the misconceptions of Mayavad philosophy. Because as long as a trace of that influence is in our heart, the desire for pure devotional service cannot truly awaken. Jivara Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas, we are eternal servants of God. And another very sacred principle of Sripad Ramanujacharya's teachings is the supreme glory of serving and worshipping the Vaishnavas. Das, das, anudas. Sripad Ramanujacharya lived by this principle. He taught this principle. And all of his disciples, they accepted this principle as their very life and soul. To honor and serve the Vaishnavas. Today, the reception that we have just seen gives great joy to our hearts, because we have seen how the great followers of Sripad Ramanujacharya here in Srirangam hold this principle so dear to their lives of honoring and serving the Vaishnavas. They are setting such an outstanding example that we should all meditate upon and learn from. The Vaishnav they are honoring and worshipping is Srila Prabhupada. For taking the message of Ramanujacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and all the Acharyas around the world. And my only qualification to accept this honor on behalf of Srila Prabhupada is that by his causeless mercy, I am struggling to become a single particle of dust on the feet of the servants of the servants of the servants of my beloved Guru Maharaj. I have no other qualification. When the great Quraysh came to Srirangam, the pujaris of that time, they would not allow any of the followers of Ramanujacharya into the temple. This is during the reign of the king Kolatunga the First. However, Quraysh was such an embodiment of oceanic good qualities that they decided to make an exception and allow him in the temple. But Quraysh, he would not enter. He said that whatever good qualifications I have are only by the mercy of my Guru Maharaj, Sripad Ramanujacharya. Otherwise, I have no qualifications. To see any qualification in me that is separate from him is cheating. It's an illusion. The only qualification we could long for is to be the servant of the servant of the servant. During Sripad Ramanujacharya's last days here in Srirangam, Dhanurdas, who was of a lower caste by birth, but who had deep devotion, Dhanurdas became one of the most close associates of Sripad Ramanujacharya. He asked a question that Vibhishan, the younger brother of Ravan of Sri Lanka, he approached Lord Sri Ramchandra. And even though Lord Ramchandra's associates suspected him, they had suspicions. In fact, they were ready to arrest him. They did not trust him to come before the Lord, being the brother of the enemy. But Lord Ramchandra called Vibhishan and his four associates to come to him. Vibhishan surrendered to Sri Ramchandra unconditionally. So Dhanurdas, he asked this question that Vibhishan was purely in the mode of goodness. Even though he had a controversial past, he had a pure heart. He had no envy. He had no duplicity. Therefore, when he surrendered at the lotus feet of Sri Ramchandra, Ramchandra accepted him immediately. But what is our position? We do not have this goodness. We have duplicity. We have envy. We have so many ill qualities. What is our qualification? How will we ever be accepted by the Supreme Lord in our attempts to surrender to Him? Have any of you ever felt like this? Vibhishan's surrender was pure. But ours is mixed. So how will the Lord accept us? Sripad Ramanujacharya gave the reply. He said Vibhishan had four associates that came with him. They were not pure. But because of Vibhishan's surrender, Lord Ramchandra accepted them also, simply because of their connection to Vibhishan. This is parampara. We cannot approach the Lord directly because our hearts are not pure. However, if we somehow or other hold on to the dust of the lotus feet of those who are pure, then by the Lord's mercy, He will accept us also. Ramanujacharya said, not the Muni, he surrendered to the Lord. And Yamunacharya surrendered to the Lord. And because we are in the disciplic line of them, trying to serve them, their surrender is our only qualification. We simply must honestly and earnestly try to live by their instructions. Ramanujacharya, he lived for approximately 60 years here in Srirangam. In fact, the house that he resided is just a 3-minute walk from where we are sitting now. We will all go to that place. He wrote 9 books. He established 74 initiating gurus and initiated 700 sannyasis. In his last days, he gave precious instructions. He lived for well over 100 years. Spent his last days here in Srirangam. He said that the holy name is the essence. The highest goal is unmotivated devotional service. Attachment to the spiritual master, guru, is the means by which we can attain that goal. And the worst enemy is offenses to God and the devotees. Bhagavat aparad and Vaishnava aparad. And Ramanujacharya gave an example which must be understood in proper perspective. That even the greatest, supreme, most pure souls sometimes they act in such a way that we conditioned souls can learn lessons from, although they are spotless. He said, Sita Devi, who is the all-pure, supreme goddess of fortune, when Maricha, in the form of a deer, allured Ram away, Lakshman was ordered by the Lord to remain with Sita to protect her. But Maricha the demon, he knew exactly how to create chaos. When he was shot by Lord Sri Ramchandra, he cried out in an identical voice that sounded like Sri Ram, Lakshman, Lakshman, come, help me, Lakshman. Help me, Lakshman, Lakshman. Now, Lakshman understood that the Lord doesn't need any help from anyone. But Sita was in the sweet mood of lover. And for the purpose of the Yoga Maya Leela of the Lord, she felt very concerned for the safety of her beloved. She ordered Lakshman, go, go now and help my beloved. Lakshman said, there is no danger. That is just a hoax. I will stay here with you. And just out of her love for Ram, she accused Lakshman of having ill motivations for staying with her. And her words deeply hurt the heart of Lakshman. And then he went on her order to join Ram. Now Ramanujacharya explains, because Sita hurt the heart of Lakshman in that way, because she performed that aparad, she had to live in Sri Lanka with Ravana and the Rakshasas for 10 months. So we must be very, very careful in what we say and what we do in relation to the Lord and His devotees. During Ramchandra's time, Vividha was one of the greatest soldiers fighting for Sri Ram. But because he felt envy and acted inappropriate toward Lakshman, he became a demon. Vividha gorilla in Krishna's Leela. And became so offensive to Balaram that Balaram had no recourse but to punch him and liberate him from his offenses. However, Ramanujacharya told his devotees in his last days, even if a devotee makes an offense, if that devotee understands and from the heart begs forgiveness, then all Vaishnavas should honor and deeply appreciate that devotee's forgiveness. And he should be, or she should be, forgiven. Any offense can be nullified if we feel deep remorse and beg forgiveness from the devotee we offended before the Lord, and then chant His holy names. Sripad Ramanujacharya's message to his devotees in his last days was to worship Lord Ranganath, to be united with Vaishnavas and serve the devotees with great care, to study the Vaishnav scriptures, and to guard against offenses. One day, Ramanujacharya brought the son of Kuresh, Parasara Bhatyar, in front of the deity of Sri Ranganath. And prayed to Sri Ranganath to empower him to be the Acharya of the Sri Sampradaya. At that time, one of the pujaris came to give garland to Ramanujacharya, but he had the pujari give the garland to Parasara Bhattar, and Ramanujacharya took the prasad of his disciple. just to establish the position of his successor. He placed Parasara on the Vyasa-san, put garland on him, and embraced him with tears of love, and told all the devotees to accept him as his representative. Then on the last day of Ramanujacharya's physical life in this world, he gave wonderful instructions to his devotees. Then he fed a wonderful feast to all the Vaishnavas. With folded hands, he begged forgiveness. He begged forgiveness from the pujaris, because Ramanujacharya was very strict about the execution of Pancharatriki Vidhi, following the proper rules and regulations in the service of the Lord. Why? All these rules, all these regulations, all these rituals are only for one purpose: to give pleasure to the Lord. As long as we are on a conditioned state trying to serve, we must serve following in the footsteps of great souls. So for a real devotee, when we perform these rituals and chant these mantras, what are we really doing? Unfortunately, sometimes people consider the ritual to be a thing of itself. It is called Smarta Brahman. Learn many mantras, many purifications, mantra, tantra, yantra, mudra. In this way, if you do not do that correctly, then you are useless. But in the line of Sripad Ramanujacharya, we find Kanchipurna. He did not know the rituals so well. He did not know all the mantras so well. He was from a Shudra birth. But he fanned the Lord with such simplicity and such purity that the Lord spoke to him. The Lord revealed the innermost feelings of his heart to Kanchipurna. Whereas other Brahmins who are chanting mantras and doing all the mudras and mantra, tantra, yantra, so many pujas, sometimes the Lord does not only not talk to them, but the Lord does not even care to accept their offerings. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. Krishna tells in Gita that even if you offer me a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water, if it is offered with devotion, I will accept. Krishna accepts our devotion. Srila Prabhupada, he explains that Krishna does not accept the thing you offer. Krishna accepts the purpose, the intention in which you offer it. If it is offered with love, Krishna accepts that love. And Krishna becomes indebted to the love of his devotee. So all of these rituals of the Pancharatriki Vidhi and all of the mantras, we should see them this way, that by following them, we are humbling ourselves before the previous acharyas. This is the way they are telling us to do it. So even if we have little realization, it should be a feeling of humility. I cannot approach the Lord directly. I am approaching through the path of the previous acharyas. Mahajano yena gatasa panta. And if this is how the previous acharyas are telling us, the type of respect, the type of honor, the type of purity and cleanliness, internally and externally, it is our humble offering to follow in this way. And then all of the rituals, mantra, tantra, yantra, mudra, pudra, they all become glorious offerings of bhakti, devotion. So Ramanujacharya begged forgiveness of pujaris, that I have given you many rules to follow, and it may have given you some inconvenience. He begged forgiveness with folded hands from all of his disciples, from his god brothers, with tears in his eyes and a genuinely humble heart. He begged forgiveness from everyone with folded palms. And his disciples, tears were bursting from their eyes. Dear Gurudev, why are you begging forgiveness from us? Everything you have done is perfect. Everything you have taught us, everything you have done for us is the unconditional mercy of the Lord. You are the world. You have spread bhakti throughout the world. Why are you begging forgiveness from us? But Sripad Ramanujacharya, from the core of his heart, demonstrated the natural humility of a great soul. Our Param Guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his last evening before he departed from this world, he also folded his hands with tears in his eyes and begged forgiveness from everyone. And our beloved Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, also followed in the footsteps of these great souls. From his heart of hearts, with tears in his eyes, he begged forgiveness for any offense he had committed to anyone. Prabhupada said, "Sometimes I used harsh words like rascal, but I did it only for the service of the Lord. But still, if I have hurt anyone's heart, I beg forgiveness." After begging forgiveness from all the devotees and all living entities, Ramanujacharya gave his last instruction. "All of you serve Lord Ranganath with sincere love and devotion, and live cooperatively with all the Vaishnavas. Let that be your happiness." How our Guru Maharaj followed in footsteps. That was also his last instruction: to worship the Lord, to chant the holy name of the Lord, and to live cooperatively with devotees, and make that our happiness. Love means our happiness is the Lord's happiness. And this is the Lord's happiness. When he sees devotees are humble and cooperative with one another in a mood of service. Trinarapi suniche nataror ibasahishnuna amani namana dena kirtaniya sadahari. To be humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like tree, eager to offer all respect to all others, and expect no respect for oneself. In this way, Krishna will be pleased and empower us to constantly chant his holy name. After speaking these words, Sripad Ramanujacharya laid his head in the lap of his beloved cousin brother Govinda, who was initiated as sannyasi by him. With his head in the lap of Govinda and his feet on the lap of his loyal, faithful servant Andrapurna, he called for the devotees. All the devotees loudly chanted Vedic mantras, his favorite passages of the scriptures, and many chanted around him the holy names of the Lord. The tumultuous sound of the holy names surrounded Sripad Ramanujacharya. And then he asked the devotees to bring the sandals of his guru, Mahapurna, and set the sandals before him, and he gazed on the feet of his guru Maharaj with his eyes. And in his heart of heart, he meditated on the lotus feet of his most beloved spiritual master, Sri Yamunacharya. And in that most auspicious setting, surrounded by the glorification of the holy name, Sripad Ramanujacharya gave up his life. The devotees were weeping and crying. Some were even considering suicide, but Ramanujacharya had previously forbid them to do so. When we were at Ramanujacharya's birthplace, we told the story how some of the devotees, they were so attached to him, they lived in his association for so long. How will we survive when you leave this world? Sripad Ramanujacharya said, I am living through my instructions. And those who follow my instructions are living with me always. But though for those of you who are very deeply attached to my physical form, I will be here with you. And here at Srirangam, he called some sculptors to make a deity, which was a replica of Ramanujacharya. Sripad Ramanujacharya embraced that deity and breathed upon that deity and giving his own life into that deity, the Archavigraha. And he sent that deity to his birthplace, Sri Purambudur. On the day it was installed, Ramanujacharya began to cry blood from his eyes, just to emphasize that he is ever living in that deity. It was at noon on the 10th day of the bright fortnight of the month of Magh that Sripad Ramanujacharya, in the most exemplary way, gave up his life here in Srirangam. His intimate disciples, Dasarathi and others, they performed the ceremony of the samadhi. they placed his body under the ground and covered it with sand. Just this morning, one very kind sannyasi invited us to take prasad in the very home of Srimad Ramanujacharya. And he told us this story about Ramanujacharya's samadhi ceremony. Would you like to hear? He explained that they buried the body of Ramanujacharya. But sometime later, Ramanujacharya's body came up again and formed a deity, which is presently in his samadhi mandir, just behind where we are sitting. By his mercy, we will visit that samadhi mandir this evening to worship him and honor him. This was in the year 1137. Parasarabhata, who was identified by Ramanujacharya to be the son of Sri Ranganath and Lakshmi, who was born in this world as the son of Kuresh and his wife Andal, very gloriously carried on the tradition of mercy of his Guru Maharaj. Although he was Acharya, with hundreds and thousands of people bowing down to him, honoring him, I would like to just cite two or three examples of his humility. He was so deeply learned in the scriptures. We know here in Sri Rangam, Ramanujacharya revealed the three unfulfilled missions of Yamunacharya. One is to write a commentary on Vedanta Sutra, establishing Vashishta Dvaita Vad, Sri Vasya. Two was to spread the teachings of devotion to the personality of Godhead throughout India. And three was to honor the speaker of Vishnu Purana, Sri Parasara Muni. Sri Pad Ramanujacharya fulfilled all of these desires of his Guru Maharaj. How wonderful when we relate this to our own Guru Maharaj. When Srila Prabhupada was just a young man, recently married, he was given an instruction by his spiritual master. Take the message of Lord Chaitanya, take the message of the previous acharyas, and spread it throughout the whole world in the English language. One day Srila Prabhupada was reading Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary of Bhagavad Gita. He read the particular verse, Vyavashayatmaka budhir ekeha kuru nandana bahushaka hirantas cha budhayo vyavashayanam. That those who are on this path, they are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. The intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branched. A devotee must be fixed. A devotee must be focused. A devotee must be absorbed. And what is that absorption? to make the order of the spiritual master one's life and soul. These are very strong words. We speak them, but do we really contemplate deeply within our heart what it means to make the order of the spiritual master our life and our soul? That means our everything. There's nothing else. It is the substance of our existence. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he established Krishna consciousness throughout India, but he asked his disciples all over the world. And although Srila Prabhupada did it, he never ever took credit. He always said, "It was whatever I have done, it is only by the mercy of my Guru Maharaj." It is his instruction was the power that fulfilled this great mission. I am just the puppet. I am just the instrument. So Parasara Bhater, he was named by Ramanujacharya this name to fulfill Yamunacharya's wish, and he was made Acharya. There was a beautiful verse that he would chant every day. He would go in front of the altar of the different alwars, and in front of the altar of Sri Ranganath. It was a verse condemning himself, written by Sripad Jamunacharya, that I am wicked, I am cruel, I am envious, I am full of lust, I am full of greed, I have all these bad qualifications. In this condition, my Lord, I have no other hope except taking shelter of you. He would repeat this prayer from his heart in humility. But there was one man who was very envious of Parasara Bhater. In fact, he hated Parasara Bhater. And when Parasara would stand before the altar and say, "My Lord, I am wicked," this man would loudly declare behind him, "Satyam." It is true. And then he would say before the Lord, "I am filled with greed." "Satyam." It is true. He would cry out, "My Lord, I am just an abode of lust." And he would cry out, "Satyam, true." "I am envious of others." "Satyam, true." And everyone was hearing. And after he recited all of these confessions of all of his bad qualities, he turned around and offered his obeisances to the person who was declaring that everything he was saying was true. From his heart, with great humility and gratitude, he offered his obeisances to that man, who was just spreading throughout. Not only was he saying it behind him, but he was spreading it. Parasara is admitting that he's lusty and he's envious and he's greedy, and it's all true. It's coming from his own mouth. He was spreading this horrible propaganda. Parasara, he did not argue with him. He offered his obeisances with him, with a grateful heart. And this person, in front of the deity, He said, why are you offering obeisances to me? I hate you. I'm blaspheming you. Why are you offering obeisances to me? And Parasarabhatra did not speak to him. He spoke to Lord Ranganath. He said, my dear Lord, I have been telling you that I have all these bad qualities and how much I need your mercy. But you haven't believed me, so you haven't given me your full mercy. But today, I have a witness. So you should give me your full mercy. When that envious rascal heard Parasara speak that to the Lord with such humility, then that person fell at Parasara's feet and surrendered and became his disciple. Another time, Parasarabhatra, son of Kuresh, disciple of Sripad Ramanujacharya, was sitting on asana in front of many people giving a class. During his pravachan, one person just very harshly stood up and chastised him with very critical language in front of everybody. Now, what would you do? Parasara very gratefully called that man forward and offered him precious gifts. He offered him prasad of golden necklaces and garlands. And everybody in the audience was bewildered. They said, why are you honoring this person who is publicly blaspheming you and chastising you? Parasarabhatra replied that he is doing my job for me. He's actually doing my job for me, so I do owe him a great debt. Says, I have three duties. My three duties, one, to glorify the Lord. Two, to glorify the devotees of the Lord. And three, to confess my own bad qualities. Now in this lecture, I'm so busy glorifying the Lord and the devotees of the Lord, I forgot to confess my own bad qualities. But he is doing that for me. So therefore, he is doing a great service, and I owe him this honor. Amanina manadena. To offer all respect to others and expect none in return. It is perhaps the most difficult thing to do in this material world, from the heart. But unless we can, we are not truly a Vaishnava. Lord Chaitanya said that this Vaishnava etiquette is the ornament that makes a devotee beautiful in the eyes of God. Another time, a procession was going on, and during that time, a dog ran onto Ranganath's altar. Hare Krishna. So the pujaris considered the altar is now contaminated. So they called the acharya, Parasarabhatra, and said, you should be present now as we sanctify the entire altar with cow dung mixture and other mantras to make it clean because a dog walked on the altar. And while this was going on, Parasarabhatra, with tears in his eyes and folded palms, he offered a prayer to Lord Ranganath. He said, why Why is this necessary? Washing the whole altar when a dog comes on. Because I've come on so many times. And I am lower than this dog. Why do we not perform this whole ritual every time I come? He did not say this to the world. He said this to the Lord. Because although he was the great acharya of our whole Sri Sampradaya, this was the genuine feeling of his heart. That he was lower than a dog. Mahajano yena gatasa pandha.